Hey, hello, good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good morning. You're excited for today. It's the last day of the fast. I hope it's been going really, really well for you. And I've been hearing a lot of good reports from people about how the Lord's really ministering to them and how they're being strengthened during this time. And so hopefully that's also your story as well. And so we're going to go over the last part here. This is Mark 16. It's a relatively short chapter, and so we'll have a little bit more time to pray today. But tomorrow is Saturday morning, 7 o'clock. We're going to be breaking our fast together, and so I don't know if your house church leaders that you'll gather together or you'll do it on Zoom. I think it depends on each house church. But I'm going to be doing a short teaching on the Lord's Supper, on communion. And then your leader will be leading you in communion during that time. And so hopefully it's a really wonderful time. And hopefully you can break the fast together if you're gathering and actually legitimately have a breakfast. Get it? Break fast. That's really where that word comes from. And so hopefully you'll be able to a chance to do that and enjoy the day. I know my kids are really excited for tomorrow. So let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 16. It's the resurrection, Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they had came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here." Oh, excuse me. "Here is a place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he said to you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him, and they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. And after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country, and they went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. And afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. He reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it should not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. And they promptly reported all these instructions to Peter and his companions. And after that, Jesus himself set out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Amen. Oh, okay. Let's break this down a little bit. So if you remember throughout the story of the crucifixion, we see these three women always at a distance. They were observing the crucifixion at a distance. When Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus was putting the body away. They also looked at a distance. And the chapter before it says, so they knew where they had laid him. And so the three women come back. They buy some spices, and I think they're hoping that if they were able to give Jesus a proper burial, it would restore some of the dignity that had been stripped from him. And so they come to the place. They bring the spices to anoint the dead body. Now, remember, they have no recollection or idea that Jesus would rise from the dead. This surprises everybody. And I know liberal scholars and people want to say, oh, yeah, you know, they're making this up or something. But no, they refuse to believe this really happened. Now, in Jesus's day, there is basically a two-part burial process. And the first part will last about a year. And so what they do is, they would take the body and wrap him in linen and put spices. And that's just part of the, so the decomposition, the smell wouldn't be as bad. And then after about a year, they would go back and they would take the bones that are left, because all the flesh, everything else would be decomposed. And they'll take the bones and they'll put it into a box, an ossuary. This is why, if you remember the parable where the one person says, oh, let me go bury my father, and then I'll come join you. And so it wasn't that he was waiting for his parents to die. They had already died, but it was this 1 year period. And this is a very strict procedure that they took place here. And so they're basically coming to anoint the body with the spices to control the smell for the decomposition. But notice that when they arrive, they have no idea what's going to happen. In fact, they wonder, like, well, if we go there, who's going to roll the stone away for us? But they go anyway. And when they arrive, they see the stone that's rolled away. They're alarmed, so they walk in. And they see a young man in a white robe. It was an angel. And there's the customary angelic greeting. In this way, it's translated, do not be alarmed. But mostly is, you know, do not be afraid. Jesus is risen. And the angels specifically tell them to go tell the disciples and Peter. This is important. Remember, Mark is the attendant of Peter. And so this really, Mark is really, if you really think about it, it's really Peter's gospel more than anything else. And so, and at this time, you can imagine Peter would not have considered himself to be one of the apostles, one of the disciples. He basically at this stage thinks that he is disqualified. And so this word that the angel tells him just really sears into his heart in such an amazing way that he really, really remembers. I can remember early on in ministry, and I to be honest, I forget what I did, but I did something dumb, and I felt like I should not be a youth pastor. And I felt like that I was totally disqualified, and this is, you know, not a good example, and so on and so forth. And I felt really bad, and I just remember just talking to the Lord, and just basically, you know, saying, you know what, I'm going to quit. Maybe this is not for me. You know, I'm not good enough. These type of things. And I just it was just so clear to me. I just heard the Lord, because I totally felt like I was disqualified, the Lord just spoke really clearly, and it was just, you know, something to the effect of, you know, I love you, you know, you're my son, you're not disqualified. And it was the simple, the reality of, you know, God was saying, I know who you are. I know every sin that you're going to commit from this day forward. I know what you're going to do tomorrow, but I chose you anyway. I can't tell you the relief that I felt, and it's true. I mean, a lot of times we feel like we're disqualified, or you know, we feel like we're not good enough. You know, the simple reality is he chose you. He knows everything you're going to do. He knows the way that you're going to disappoint him, and he knows all the different things that are going to happen around our lives. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. And but he chose us anyway. And it's just an amazing the grace that God has for us, the depth of forgiveness, and it made me want to live a more holier life for sure, you know, because of the grace that was shown. But that's what Peter must feel like. He feel like he's totally disqualified, and the angel comes, and he says, "Go tell Peter and the disciples." In other words, you know, God says, I've not forgotten about you, Peter. You are still one of my disciples. Now, notice here, I just want to make a little quick comment here. Notice the most important message that can be, you could say that could be uttered on the face of the earth, the most wonderful message that a human being can utter to another human being. In other words, he has risen. I mean, can you imagine a more powerful message in humankind? And notice something here. Who does the Lord give the honor of that message? And then in John, it's also Mary as well. So who deserves the honor of sharing really the most important message in human history? Who is it? It's women. It's women. I mean, they have the honor of sharing the message. I hope that this helps us, you know, to really kind of put to rest the argument of, can women preach today? Of course they can preach. I mean, it's all based on a couple obscure passages that I believe are really taken out of context in many ways. But I mean, just think about this. The greatest message that a human being can utter to another human being, God designates women to share this message that he is risen. If you want to dwell more into this, N.T. Wright, the great British theologian, writes some very wonderful things regarding this passage and other passages about the whole idea of, can women preach? And so, brothers, but especially sisters that are in the house, you know, you are not disqualified to be a leader. You are not disqualified to preach the gospel and to share the message of God because you're a woman. Let's throw aside those arguments and just look at the breadth of Scripture and what it has for us. And so I hope it's freeing. I just wanted to throw that in there because I think it's just so amazing. I mean, just the greatest message that a human being can utter to another human being, and he reserves this privilege to women. And brothers and sisters, it's not just this passage. It's really the breadth of Scriptures. And we see this laid out. And the message that the angel tells him is to wait for them in Galilee. And so, because that's the home base, and he's waiting for them there. And the women's reaction, I just want to focus on this for a moment. The women's reaction is a little different than what we would have thought. I mean, we know already that every time an angel appears, people are scared out of their mind. But it says here that they are afraid and they're trembling. They are afraid. This is this incredible God moment right now. And they are afraid and they're trembling. They flee. It's actually the same word that Mark uses here is when the disciples flee in fear. We see just before when he's in the garden and caught. And so they didn't believe. And I think this is quite an appropriate response. You know, a lot of times, like sometimes we have these God moments and we feel like, oh, I'm afraid. What's wrong with me? And we can very easily disqualify. But I want you to know that that's a very common reaction that takes place. Now, you have to remember, Mark's audience is the church in Rome under tremendous persecution. This scene of the woman having this God encounter and then also being afraid and trembling would have really resonated with the Romans, the Roman Christians, because just like the women, the Roman Christians, their faith would often be mixed with fear. In other words, they're just like us. I mean, they're just like us. Many years ago, some of you guys that have been around SP a long time, you would have remembered this. But Chuck Pierce came to speak at SP, and this was years ago. And Chuck Pierce, you know, we had a big meeting. He was over at Island ECC, you know, we had invited, you know, the whole city to come out, because you know Chuck's such a popular speaker. And so, unbeknownst to me, in the middle of service, you know, he asked me to come up. And so I came up, and then he just, you know, had a word of the Lord, a prophetic word and things. And he basically anointed me as an apostle, but as an apostle over the city, you know, of Hong Kong. And I was just shocked. And I do believe it was a true word and it was a real God encounter. But you know what? I was terrified. Nearly trembling. And all I could do is, after the whole thing, is go back and fall on my knees and just pray. And I resonate with these women. You know, you have this incredible God encounter. And a lot of times it's mixed with fear. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just our humanness. Remember, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is to move in action. It's to be brave and move in action to overcome in the midst of our fear, right? It doesn't mean that there's no fear. Only Jesus was fearless. But we have to operate in courage. In the midst of fear, we still move and we work and we do. We are brave. We overcome. And that's really the message to these Roman Christians. You know, your faith will be mixed with fear. And I don't know, to be honest, I find this passage very soothing to my soul, because I often find myself in the midst of faith also having moments of fear. And it's just the way of Lord telling me, Sam, take courage, overcome in the midst of the fear. And that's what happens. They run. Now, we go to verse 9 and on, and I want you to know that this is fairly controversial, okay? I don't want to go into all the higher textual criticism and those things, because this is primarily devotional time. But most scholars agree that from verse 9 to 20 was not the writings of Mark. And it was later added afterwards, because the early manuscripts that we have actually don't contain 9 to 20. The early church fathers felt that Mark ended so abruptly at verse 8, that they added to it a bit to bring more of a closure. But that's how Mark wrote. Remember, everything was immediately and suddenly and all these things. And so they kind of added to it. But these are basically a collection of stories and sayings that were really previously stated. And so it's not like they were made up things, but they're just not flowing in the letter. And so these are very much things that Jesus said. It just wasn't recorded in Mark. And so, there's like 10 other reasons why, but I mean, like I said, I don't want to really get into it so much. If you are interested, then I am doing chapter 16 for SP New York actually next week, and I'm going to write all this stuff. And so if you want a copy of those notes, just email me and I'll send it to you, and I'll go through all the textual criticism that's laid out during that time. And so, but let's just go through it real quickly. And so we're introduced to Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene. And the writer here tells us that seven demons were cast out of her. And so she's just so in love with Jesus. If you've ever seen the miniseries Chosen, it's really focused on Mary of Magdala. And you could actually go to Magdala, and it's quite a beautiful place. And you can see where Jesus walked and all these things. Is kind of pretty cool. But notice the hardness of heart for the disciples and their unwillingness to believe. They didn't believe Mary. They didn't believe Jesus's mom, Mary, and Salome, and the other Mary. They didn't believe anything. They didn't believe Cleopas and his friend. When he's talking about they were on the road, this is in the book of Luke, on the road to Emmaus. That's the reference to. They didn't believe the other disciples. They make no connection whatsoever. And you can see that there's this great refusal to believe. And that's really what Jesus has been talking about this whole time. And so he gathers them together. He rebukes them for not believing and not listening to the words that the others shared with them. And then he goes and tells them what they need to do. They need to go to all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then there's this one little part, and some people have mistaken this, and it's the idea of baptism unto salvation. Now, first of all, we know that the whole breadth of Scripture, that really is only faith in Jesus is essential for salvation, not baptism. And so if you actually read this text carefully, we can understand what he's saying. And this is verse 16, and he says, "And he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Now, if the writer was really trying to make a case that baptism is necessary for salvation, he would have ended it with that as well. But he says, "He who believes and has been baptized, but he who has disbelieved and not been baptized," that would be more consistent. But that's not what the writer says. And so, baptism is not a requirement. I know some churches teach this. But it's not a requirement. You know, the Anabaptists from way back in the days, and now there's some other streams of that. But the only thing that we need to be saved is to have faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, if you add anything to it, it becomes a works righteousness instead of faith. And I remember the man, the thief on the cross, he asked, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." If this was true, Jesus would have said, "Sorry, bro, you need to get baptized, man. You know, so I can't do anything for you." Of course, Jesus didn't say that. He said, "Today you should be with me in paradise." All he needed was to have a faith in Christ. And that's really all the essentials. And I'm actually going to talk about that a bit on Sunday. He says here, "And these signs," this will be the work. When you go out, when you go and preach the gospel, these signs will follow those who believe. What are the signs? What are they going to do? They're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak in new tongues. They will battle serpents, and they'll be okay. They'll recover from illness, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they should be well. And so these are the signs that follow the believers. And so, you know, it begs us to ask the question, hey, you're a believer. Are you casting out demons? Are you praying in new tongues? Are you battling the serpents? Now, I know we've all seen, you know, YouTube videos of these crazy, It always seems like it's Americans in the Appalachian Mountains on the, you know, they're all, that's not what this means. It's not literal serpents. It's obviously talking about the devil. And, you know, in other words, another way of saying it is do spiritual warfare. And so are you doing that? You know, are you laying hands on the sick and recovering? And, you know, the other part that's laid out here is that they will drink poison in these things. And, you know, I mean, this happened to Paul, right? And he recovered. And so, but these will follow those that believe. And so it's imperative that we work this, the signs of believers in this way. And then, you know, they went out, the Lord was taken up, and, you know, you have this beautiful ending to this all. So let's take a moment and let's just close our eyes and let's pray for a bit. And I just want to go back to that faith and fear. I think many times we felt that, right? You know, we have this God moment and we're so full of faith, but sometimes the fear creeps in. I want you to know that that's not such a negative thing, because what God wants us to do is to overcome. You know, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers, Nikeo. And so it's okay that our faith is sprinkled with the fear. I think that's just human. But we grind in and we lean upon the Lord, and he gives us a strength to overcome, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, not my strength, but his strength. And so let's just spend a moment and let's just kind of let those words kind of resonate in our hearts for a bit. Faith and fear. A lot of times our faith will be often mixed with fear. That's okay, because he called us to overcome. Can we do that? Can we just go before the Lord as we sing a song together?
When no one caught in sin inside the lie of inward shame, but fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. The weight of all our sin, you bow to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden great can hold you down. In strength you your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come sit in the light, the glory of God has defeated the night. And oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, He's alive, He's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
Christ is overcome, so He gives us the strength to overcome as well. Well, let's just meditate on the song. Let's meditate on the words of the scriptures, the friendship and the fear, faith mixed with fear, so we can overcome. Well, let's just pray for a moment. Let's go to our prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through chemo and therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word over them. Let's pray for those who are sick, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan and Cambodia. And let's pray for our friends ministering there, Pastor Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin, SB Tokyo. Let's pray for Grace and Oasis House in Cambodia. And let's ask the Lord to really minister powerfully in these countries and that the gospel would be preached powerfully. Let's pray over our missions council. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead our men and women of God and that would really lead our mission endeavors. Let's pray. Let's pray over our local outreach ministries, Agape, Homie, Freedom Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Now, some of them are not as active these days, but let's just pray that the teams would continue to be built and as they go out, and they will go out soon, that they'll be very, very powerful. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, our IP, our intercessory prayer team, SPU and SP Youth. Let's pray for our young people, pray for our prayer warriors. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really bless this time together. Let's pray for house church tonight. Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, Westside. Let's just pray for a really fruitful time. Bless our leaders and our hosts, and just the anointing would flow either they meet in person or on Zoom. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for cases to continue to go down. Let's pray for God's continual peace. Lift up people that are struggling financially because of COVID and their businesses. And let's just ask the Spirit of God to help them put their trust in the Lord and to look to Him. Let's pray for Abby, Luke from Hollywood House Church. Pray for strength and protection. Actually, I think this is a little late. She actually already had a baby, and the baby is having some complications. So let's just pray. Let's pray for healing. Let's thank the Lord for a smooth, that already had a smooth delivery, and pray for wisdom in managing family life and work. And let's lift up Abby and the baby. Let's pray for Nikki Koo from Conlon House Church. Pray for salvation for family, dad, brother, sister-in-law, niece. Let's pray for helper's family issue to be resolved as well. Let's lift up Nikki and her family. Let's pray for Tracy and from McCain House Church. Pray for God to provide for husband Joe a job this year. Pray for a friend Joel to recover from leukemia and grandmother to recover from pneumonia. Let's lift up Tracy and her family. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you that you are risen, God. And the ramifications of that bring us so much hope and so much joy and so much life. Lord, we recognize, God, that faith is not the absence of fear, God. Faith is overcoming in the midst of the fear. You tell us to have courage. And so would you help us to have courage today, God? Help us in our last day of our fast to finish well, finish strong, Lord, to really focus on you and continue to give our heart to you, God. Lord, just watch over our community today. And we thank you, Lord. We love you so much, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, God bless you. Enjoy the last day of your fast. Let's stay strong. Let's pray for the house. And we'll see you tomorrow morning to break our fast with communion. Okay, take care, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. Bye.